just have it there. Before I start, as Josh said, this is for main event, 24. Yeah, right correction. I just want to say a word of prayer. So if you just bow your head, shoot a quick prayer to God. Father, Lord Jesus, I pray that through this message that I'm giving, God, that your glory will shine through and your love will be placed on all the people in here and their hearts will be filled with joy. God, this isn't for me. This isn't for my glory, rather. God, it's for you. It's for your love and for your peace. And I pray that you'll bless this. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, falling apart. So, as you guys know, well, you probably know, right now I am in the process of directing a musical, and I am slowly but surely understanding the overwhelming responsibility that comes with directing a musical. Firstly, I was in charge of putting together the audition process and having audition sign-ups, then having the things that all needed to happen in auditions, and then I had to figure out, okay, this person would work well in this casting role, but can they sing? I don't know, this is confusing. And then I had to cast everyone, and after the casting, we're just about to start rehearsal process, and being in rehearsals myself, I know how they go. The director yells at you a lot and tells you what you have to do as the cast members, and you're just told where to go, how to move, what to do. And then there's my job in this play, and I'm the director, and that job is to tell people what to do, where to go, how to move, what to say, and who to interact with. In the end, it comes down to the opening night performance where I sit down and I watch the vision I have for this play come to life, which I'm so thrilled about that I get to have that opportunity. And then at the end of the performance, I'll have all these notes that I scribble down and I'll tell my actors how to perfect their performance and how to make it better the next time. So they'll come back to the next night and they'll perform it again and again and again until closing night, where I just kind of sit back in my chair, can't write notes because there's nothing really they should work on because it's the last night, and in the end we go home and we're filled with joy and we eat pancakes and celebrate each other as our last night comes to a close. Well, similarly to the vision I have for the play that I'm doing right now, God has a vision for life. God is the director of life. He sets our stage, which he calls nature. In nature, he can move the mountains. He makes life happen. He shows us the beauty in a sunrise and a sunset. He lets us use nature as our stage. And then he casts the players. For he knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows our plans. He knows where he wants us to go. We are the players. And he also casts the people we interact with. He directs us to be the performers for this vision he has, to carry out this idea of a world filled with his love. When I refer to we, quote unquote, and us, quote unquote, I don't simply mean all of humanity. As awesome as that would be, unfortunately, God doesn't have a relationship with everyone, so he can't direct everyone. As his performers, or as he calls us, his disciples, we've been given a special task, which we call the Great Commission, and that is to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God uses his performers, us, to create a body of Christ, which we call the church, which we're in right now. Whoa. Today, in this day and age, a rising concern in the church is that people are learning that they're uncomfortable about being authentic, about being real. They don't want their outside lives to conflict with the lives that they present in church. We come to church on Sundays or on Wednesday nights. We worship, we stand up when we're told, we read when we're told, then we sit down because we're told to, and then we're asked to stand up and sing together, and then they ask us to sit down and go shake each other's hands and worship and fellowship and smile and put on this little act that everything in our life is going flowery and fine. And we watch the pastor as he gives his sermon, and we try so hard to listen to what he's saying, as in the back of our mind we're thinking of what we're going to wear for school tomorrow, or what the heck we're going to do for this project we're doing at work, or we think about all these things as we struggle to listen to the message. It's as if we, in church, are the audience, similar to you guys right now. You're an audience to me, and it's like I'm the performer. And we leave, and we let ourselves be filled with this idea that we just had a good performance that filled us up. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that we all come to church without any bad intentions. Most of us come here because it's habitual. We're just used to it. Most of the other people who are here come because their parents come here. I know I started coming to church because my parents did. And then there's the few of you who come here because we're seeking something that we just can't find in life, and we're struggling to find it. So we come here, and we try to open up, and we just seem to not be able to find it. The sad truth is that Sunday, and oftentimes Wednesday, has turned into a performance. People will come, and they'll put on an act that life is fine. They're just fine. I'm fine. We're all fine. But church has become a place where we go to forget about everything that happens in our life instead of solving the problems that we're going through. The next day, the following Monday, or for Wednesday, the following Thursday, we go to school. We hang out with our friends. We become this person that in real life we identify ourselves with, whereas the day before at church we proclaimed to be a person of faith and a person of love and a person of Jesus. And then we go on with our lives and kind of forget about what we just had proclaimed about the day before. But I know that in this book, God desires for us to live in a different way. Paul challenges the church in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 28 and 2 through 3. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become a servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may be full and have the riches and complete understanding, in order that they may know the mysteries of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul talks about how God wants us to present the word of God in its fullness to the entire world. How he wants us to make known to the Gentiles the glorious riches of God's mystery in Jesus Christ, and to give other people around us the fullness of this glory God has. As you guys also know about me, I am a pastor's kid. My parents are divorced, but the beginning of my life, I grew up a pastor's kid, and for a portion of my recent years. I super quickly learned how to go through the motions of life, where I know exactly what to say and how to smile and how to sing in front of people and how to present myself like I'm living the perfect life of a good Christian, little, blonde, sweet, curly-haired girl. And I also learned the things to say to the old people that are concerned about me and how to make them assure them that really I'm okay, and then go to school the next day and realize, you know, I'm not living this life I proclaimed. And at school, I was hanging out with these people that influenced me to completely do the opposite of what I proclaimed at church. And then on top of that, I'd come home and I'd just fight and fight and fight with my parents. And it was just this cycle of lies and lies to myself, to God, and to the people that I loved. And I felt empty, and I felt, above all, fake. I felt like I was faking everything I was doing, like I was just lying. But the one thing that I realized later on in my life that I neglected to do, the one gift God gave me that I neglected to realize, was the gift of my daddy. My dad is a wonderful, wonderful man. He's probably the most genuine Christian that I know. Yes, he can be a turd at times because, you know, he is my father. And we have a really interesting relationship. But the thing about my dad is I watch him through his weekly life. And after his sermon on Sunday, we go and we eat lunch with other people. We never eat lunch at our own house. We always go to someone else's. And then throughout the rest of the week, he goes and visits at least 4 people a day and shows them that they're loved and that God cares about them and that he cares about them and that he wants to invest in their life. And then on top of that, he not only was the biggest volunteer in our community, but he was my cheerleading coach at my high school. He was the bus driver at my high school. He was, he's now building and developing an old people's home in our community. And he also is in charge of the pinata at our Newbridge Fall Festival in the community he lives. My dad does everything volunteer. And then he goes home on Saturday night, and he sits at his desk, closes his doors, and asks me not to bother him. And I know at this time, God, my daddy just sits there, and he prays to God. And then he scribbles a few notes down, reads his Bible, and then the next morning, we put together everything for church, and he stands up. And with the few notes he has, he completely and totally improvises his sermons every Sunday. Some people think that's strange, but personally, I think it's beautiful that my dad has the genuine love of Jesus Christ working in him to where he can just totally open his mouth and God's pure and glorious mystery will come to life. St. Francis of somewhere that I don't know how to pronounce said, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. My dad showed me this in real life about how it's the things you do, the people you love, and how you show people you love that shows the love of God. So, wrapping that back around to theater, what if we took the principles that I told you about, the directing, the rehearsals, the performances, and we applied it to church? Right now, we live as if God is the director, right? He's the director. And Sundays and Wednesdays are like a performance where you come as the audience and you watch the performers perform and talk and sing and worship. But what if we took the idea of rehearsal and we stuck it right in there? And we said, God is the director. Sundays will be our rehearsals and the rest of our entire life will be our performance to the world to show God's love. If we gather as a body of believers and practice how to live for God on Sundays, being 100% honest with each other, not holding back anything, not being fake, genuine people coming together for God's glory, helping each other grow in faith, and figuring out how to live by God's glory every day. That's the difficult thing. And then we can go to school and work after this rehearsal on Sunday and Wednesday. We can go to school and work, and we can go back to our homes and our families and know that we're performing for the glory of God. And also know that no matter where we are in life, we have our body of believers that will always be there and always love us and always be our back to fall on. We should let our Sundays challenge us. Let the message actually teach us, like listen to the pastor, which is fun to do, try it sometime. And then we should apply that, what we learn, to our lives and let Jesus change our hearts. I genuinely believe that anybody who seriously takes up their cross and follows Jesus will be a changed person. And we should also let God call us to be the performers in his world, not just the church leaders and the worship team. Romans 12:4-8, says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many from one body, and each member belongs to the other, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. And if it's to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." We make up a body of Christ, much like a physical body. And as you know, any body that doesn't exercise will be weak. We are challenged as a body of believers to exercise and become strong. And the only way we can do that is if through exercising, we work with each other. We invest in each other's life. When we go home, we call up each other the next day and say, "Hey man, how you doing? I love you." or you text someone and say, oh, dude, I was reading this Bible verse and it was super cool and I thought you'd like to hear it, blah, 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 and you just are like so thrilled about living your life for God that you can go and be accountable for each other in the name of Jesus Christ and love as Christ loves us. Right after Paul talks about the body of Christ, he says, Romans chapter 12, verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. How much stronger do you think our body would be if we would go through thick and thin with each other? If we went through all of the hardships of life together, how strong do you think our relationships would be? Our faith and our spirituality would just blossom into something beautiful. Much like actors communicate and interact on stage, God wants us to interact in each other's life. It's how we were created. We're created to build these relationships. And in a body of believers, we're created to build relationships with the foundation of God's love. By living our faith out in the world around us, we automatically follow through with the great commission God's given us. We show love everywhere we go. We end up learning through a slow and tedious process how to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We put on our full armor of God, and we keep his sword tucked in our heart by meditating on it daily, with each other's help, learning the words that God has given us to perform in the world he's set for us. God, we have to be able to see God's beautiful creation. We have to be able to practice peace and love and kindness as we grow with each other through life, prayer, and love. William Shakespeare said in his play As You Like It, all of the world is a stage, and we are simply the players. Let's make church the rehearsal and life the performance for God's glory. Thank you.